mouth.
Word of 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 mouth.
Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Last week's attack on the offices of Charlie Hebdo in Paris prompted an outpouring of support from comedians and satirists and humorists from around the world.
Our hearts are with the staff of Charlie Hebdo and their families tonight. I know very few people go into comedy, as an act of courage, mainly because it shouldn't have to be that.
So it is very important tonight that I express that everybody who works at our comedy show, and believe it or not, this is a comedy show, that's what we're trying to do here, all of us are terribly sad for the families of those victims, for the people of France, and for anyone in the world tonight who now has to think twice before making a joke.
Joe Randazzo, former editor of America's fake news source, The Onion, responded with an op-ed on MSNBC about the vital role that humor plays in free speech. Satire must always accompany any free society, he wrote. It is an absolute necessity. Even in the most repressive medieval kingdoms, they understood the need for the court jester. But what is it that sets satire apart from other forms of humor? Does it have to be funny? And is there a difference between clever satire and outright provocation when it comes to challenging the powerful? Again, Joe is a comedian, writer, and former editor of The Onion. I spoke with him on Friday about the careful craft of satire. Here's that conversation. Joe, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
Joe, you worked at The Onion between 2006 and 2012. What was your initial response when you heard the news of the massacre at the Paris headquarters of Charlie Hebdo?
Well, insofar as one's able from across the ocean to feel a connection to it, I sort of did because they were stormed during their editorial meeting, and that's something that we did all the time at The Onion, that they continue to do all the time at The Onion, and that journalists and news organizations and publications do every week everywhere. And because it was satirists and cartoonists, it felt as though a lot of the work that I've done, some of my closest friends and colleagues have done and continue to do, and a lot of the ideas that I hold dear were literally murdered that day, and it definitely hurt.
Well, you know, in America, a lot of news sources were saying Charlie Hebdo, it's like The Onion. You know, it's a satirical newspaper, certainly, but satire does come in many different forms. In your mind, what distinguishes Charlie Hebdo from America's satirical giants like The Onion, The Daily Show, The Colbert Report, or even South Park?
I think the thing that differs from place to place and culture to culture is context. France has its own very proud tradition of satirizing politicians, of satirizing people in power, and a very, very proud and seriously taken tradition of secularism. So a lot of the response to the cartoons themselves, even hours after it had happened, which I think is fine and understandable, was a discussion over, were these cartoons racist? Were they inflammatory? Are they offensive? And I think it's hard for me to make a judgment on that and what Charlie Hebdo's role is in society, in French society, because it's a context that I'm not completely familiar or used to. It seems that they were very, very interested in pushing boundaries always and actively inflaming. Mm-hmm. You know, the editor of Charlie Hebdo had been quoted as saying, Muhammad's not sacred to me. You know, I don't care what people think. And, you know, I know it's been mentioned a lot lately, but they were firebombed in 2011.
Right.
That would have shut down most organizations.
Yeah. Well, you've opened up so many things. I mean, the firebombing of Charlie Hebdo and it being targeted by extremist groups in the past, that never happened to The Onion. And I wonder if there is a kind of a sanction or safety in being in print. You know, why do cartoons elicit such a much stronger response?
Well, there's something raw about caricature that I think also taps into a lot of our fears about the other and our history of racism. You know, you think about depictions of hooked-nosed Jews or black men and women, which were depicted in a cartoon caricature form, which we really do not do in the U.S. anymore. And I think that there's just something visceral about seeing those that makes it less subtle, for sure. And there's also – and I don't really have empirical evidence for this, but I think the idea of political correctness has not exactly settled on Western Europe as much as it has here in America. And I think that's something that, for good or ill, has fundamentally changed our society here in America, and I don't think it has in France. And, you know, they have their own issues there with Islamophobia and immigration issues. While we certainly have racial tensions here, it's different.
I'm going to go back to that kind of idea that there are different things that Americans would find funny or politically correct. You know, a lot of Americans might look at the Charlie Hebdo covers of a Muslim and an Orthodox Jew kissing each other passionately, slobberingly, other kinds of images that we look at in America and may not find necessarily even funny. Does satire have to be funny, Joe?
No, it doesn't. I mean, some of the greatest satire is more absurd or sad or sickening than it is necessarily funny. I think it should run the entire gamut and can run the entire gamut, but it does not have to tickle your funny bone to necessarily be effective.
So what is the difference here? You know, Charlie Hebdo has been accused of provocation for provocation's sake. How about The Onion? When you were talking things over, was there this aim to offend?
What I think a satirist tries to do is aim at the right target. And that usually means making sure that victims or powerless or the dispossessed are never at the butt of a joke, that you're aiming your joke at those in power. But I also think there's something very legitimate in inflaming for the sake of inflammation if the ideology that you're inflaming is ignorant or, for lack of a better word, stupid. And this is in no way to say that the ideology of Islam as a whole is stupid, but a belief in a system that promotes violence for the depiction of an individual is very much at odds with a modern society. There's not a place for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did it at The Onion. You know, in America, it's much easier and common for satirists to take aim at right-wing white people. So I remember we wrote an op-ed in the voice of Rush Limbaugh after the Haiti earthquake, in which he had said some horrible thing about Haitians, and we were all very angry about the insensitivity and his continued insensitivity. And we wrote an op-ed in which he basically called himself a monster, and, you know, it was written by him and saying that he didn't want to live anymore and didn't have the courage to off himself, and would someone please do it?
Mm-hmm.
And we were concerned that we would be sued. We weren't concerned that we would be shot. But we did it for the sake of inflammation, because the ideas that he was spouting we found so offensive that we wanted to needle those and push those.
What was the reaction to that Rush Limbaugh piece in The Onion?
Well, we never heard anything from Rush Limbaugh, so it was a little bit of relief and it was a little bit of disappointment. I doubt he ever saw it.
I'd love for you to walk us through that kind of process of editorial meetings at The Onion. You know, were there things that you discussed that as an editorial team you just thought, you know, no way, we can't do that? I mean, were there sacred cows, I guess?
There's no sacred cow in a general sense. That's a form of self-censorship that I think is deadly. But it's, you know, it's again the idea of what is the point you're making? The example that I like to use, because it's the clearest in my mind, is we had written a headline and written an article all the way through about, you know, when the Iraq War was sort of in its height and worst,
mm-hmm.
About a soldier who was fretting all the time that he just knows he's going to be the 4,000th fatality. And we went all the way through the process and we were going to print it. And then it occurred to us that while we felt the satire was solid there, that war and the deaths of American troops had become so commonplace as to be almost banal at this point, we realized that there was going to be a 4,000th fatality.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, our joke would retroactively have been at the expense of an individual who was serving his country. And we thought, well, there's no way we can run this. It's once that 4,000th fatality happens, this joke becomes all wrong.
Since the attack on the Charlie Hebdo satirical magazine in Paris this week, we've been hearing a lot of comparisons with The Onion. We're talking with Joe Randazzo. He's the former editor of The Onion. He's talking with us a little bit about their editorial process and the vitality of satire. Yeah, so it suddenly became personal. Any other topics that you just couldn't touch?
I mean, there's always going to be topics that are sensitive and that are sensitive to the staff as a whole. And we didn't always agree either on, you know, people did not always agree on what was published. You know, for instance, when the Jerry Sandusky thing came out, you know, there was a lot of sensitivity around re-victimizing the victims or in any way, you know, injuring further that community that was struggling so much with what was going on there. That was almost unbelievably horrible. But all the jokes that The Onion published during that time were at the expense of either Sandusky himself or the power structure that enabled him to keep committing those crimes.
Were you or anyone at The Onion ever threatened while you were there?
Well, there would always be the occasional angry email. We would sometimes get handwritten mail too, usually, but in some sort of weird chicken scratch. Most of these came more from people who I would describe as espousing a kind of right-wing Christian ideology. There's only one time that I, in particular, was threatened, and I happened to answer the phone, and it was somebody who was complaining about an article that we wrote. I don't even recall the exact joke, but it was in support, essentially, of marriage equality. And ridiculing those who were against it. And, you know, he had promised and offered to sodomize me, which I turned down his offer. But he also threatened to, you know, kill my family and all of that. And it actually, once it got to that point, became very scary. And he had called up a few other people randomly at Onion offices and made similar threats and offers. And we did wind up calling the police, but they essentially said, well, there's nothing that we can really do. So,
what do you think the effect of this attack will be on satire? Emboldening, chilling effect?
Well, I think there's bound to be an initial sort of chilling effect. There's fear, there's anger, there's grief. But the people who committed these acts have really already lost this war of ideas and this proves it. It's a violent and cowardly last resort lashing out against a world that's moving on. And I think this is going to definitely embolden satire. You know, I mean, you think about for all of the talk about the dangers posed by printing images of Muhammad, and you would wonder, well, what is the worst that could happen? And this was it. We've just seen the worst that can happen, and we're going to move on. And a free society has to be able to embrace all ideas, and we will continue to do that. I think hopefully we'll also open up a conversation about Westerners' views of Islamists and Islamic radicals and moderate Muslims and how these depictions may have inflamed people, and continue to talk about how we can have a pluralistic society. But in no way is it going to chill satire. It's only going to make it stronger.
Joe Randazzo, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Joe Randazzo, he's a comedian, he's a writer and former editor of The Onion. And his new book, Funny on Purpose, is coming out in April. And I want to mention he is a native of Penacook, New Hampshire. Any shout out for New Hampshire there, Joe?
Check out the Hannah Duston Memorial if you get a chance, because it's not going to be around too much longer. I don't think it's crumbling.
Speaking of satire, a link to his op-ed is at wordofmouthradio.org. And our look at the many shades of satire continues with a visit to the Brave New Workshop. That's America's longest-running satirical theater, and it's a company which helped launch the careers of comedy writers and producers, and even U.S. Senator Al Franken, among others. That story, when word of mouth continues, after a short break.